concluded talking about how the church was not founded on the day of Pentecost. It was actually had its structure, had its movement, its work, and did everything the church does today long before the day of Pentecost. That, as the scripture says, it was founded at Jesus' feet, not in his absence. Now, there's another theory that we talked about a few weeks ago that we would be getting into, and that is the Holy Spirit baptism theory. Now, that theory simply states that upon salvation, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into a universal, invisible, all-connected church. And that comes from several passages of Scripture that talk about baptism and the Holy Spirit. Well, let's take a look at a few of them, shall we? Matthew 3:11 says, "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, if John baptizes with water and Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit doing here? Well, he's doing the same job as the water is when John baptized with water. See, John's baptism was, again, an entry in. It was a public statement. The Holy Spirit did not baptize anybody or anything in Matthew 3:11. Mark 1:8, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." There's that word "with" again, juxtaposed with what he already said in the other gospel, water. Luke 3:16, "John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water." And then, of course, he goes on to say pretty much the same thing that he says, that Matthew records in his gospel. John 1:33, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." Again, in these passages of Scripture, who is the Holy Spirit baptizing? Nobody. The Holy Spirit, again, being a medium. And we understand the word "baptize" there to mean immerse. Now, can I only immerse a person in water? No, you can immerse just about anything you want in water. You really can. If you woke up this morning, you had yourself some tea, you immerse that bag into the water. Now, that bag has not become a member of this church. And the reason why it didn't isn't because we didn't vote for it. Right? You dunked something into something else. You submerged it. And that is what we are talking about, or that's what John is talking about in these passages of Scripture. You are immersed into the Holy Spirit. That's not a gateway into anything. That doesn't connect you to an assumed, unseen entity group of people. It simply means that on the day of Pentecost, they would be so submersed into the Holy Spirit that gifts and things like that would take place. And in turn, upon salvation, every child of God would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll look at this in another passage of Scripture, another study at another time. But many of those gifts that they received upon the submersion of them into the Holy Spirit have gone. I don't care what your Pentecostal co-worker says. I don't care what the apostolic neighbor you have says. When they laid their hands on that lady at Walmart and she got up and walked, she probably already could. All right? Well, we got together and we did this and we did that and we were able to heal them. I'm sorry, you've misunderstood. When Paul was able to say, get up and walk, or whatever it is that they did, whatever miracles they performed, it was not Paul that did the miracle. It was God. When we see so many of them out there speaking in tongues, being able to, again, speak in a dialect and in a language they've never understood before, never were taught, when they were out there doing that, that was not them becoming coming to a certain spiritual state to where they could suddenly do that. No, no, that's not how that worked. The Holy Spirit did those things within them. It was God. So those miracles, those many mighty works, God did them. Because we hear that question from time to time. Well, why would God give them the ability and not give us the ability? Do me a favor, raise your hand if you have a phone, a smartphone. That should be just about every single. In your smartphone is the ability to translate any language. Not perfectly, no, no. But it's there. Right? You may not know how to use it, but it's there. Or if not, you could download it. To where you could just sit there and type something in, hit go, and it would play that. Again, not perfect, but can you do it? Yes. As a matter of fact, you go out to our website, you see who's paying attention to our website. We've got folks from China. We've got folks from Papua New Guinea. We've got people from the Philippines. A lot of people from the Philippines come and look at our website. They're on our Facebook page as well, just gathering the information that we share on there. We'll put some sermons out there, links over to our website out there, just trying to bring people to the website to see what we have. We get people from all over the world. You know what they're doing? They're translating those things. We have that ability. So does the Holy Spirit need to give that to you? No. We have it. Now, how about this? What about healing? Well, as Brother Vickerman pointed out in his prayer, we've seen a miracle quite recently, haven't we? We've seen a couple. We've seen quite a few. And that is the way it is. You know, somebody came by the church this week, and they asked, and they said, well, what kind of church is it? I'd like to attend. I said, hey, listen, this is the kind of church where the Lord answers our prayers. Not everything we ask for, but He answers, man. He answers here. We've seen it. We've seen the way the Lord has done great things. We've seen the way God has given grace when things can't be done our way. We've seen it. We don't have to be able to reach out and touch an ear to get them to hear. We don't have to reach out and, you know, touch a body that can't walk to see it leap. We don't need those things. Right? We're talking about Kathy. I mean, somebody who literally, I mean, that was it. You ask anybody out there, hey, we've got a patient with these set of symptoms, with this medical history, and we need both a heart and a kidney. What do you think the prognosis is? And they would look at you with the gravest of faces. And she's home, right, brother? She's at home. Probably watching reruns of The Price is Right. Come on. As honestly, we have those things. Hey, how about this? When you are in a time of either temptation or trouble, have you ever been pestered, ever been bothered by a Bible verse or some conviction or a reminder of something? Has that ever happened to you? I know it ain't just me. The Holy Spirit still works, still indwells. But that does not mean that because we have communication with the Holy Spirit, Him dwelling within us, that doesn't mean that we're a part of this great invisible church. Because again, when we defined the church, that word church, ecclesia, a called out assembly. Can I be assembled if we're over there? Can I be assembled if some of us are in Michigan and the rest of us are over there in California and some of us are over there in China? We got a ton of us down there in the Philippines. Are we assembled? Not really. I can't speak to you directly. I can't see you. We are not assembled. The Holy Spirit and a universal church are two completely different ideas. And it is almost remarkably hilarious to assume that because of one, we have the other. It just doesn't go that way. All right, so again, we got to be really careful. And as we're looking at that, under no circumstances does it ever come out and say that the Holy Spirit baptizes anybody. As a matter of fact, John is very clear in his language. Very clear. He doesn't take a rocket scientist when the Bible explains itself. So many people, they act like that. Well, you see, what you got to understand is what... It says it clearly because it knows who it's talking to. It's not talking to some higher level being who's not a human being. It's talking to us with our limited understanding. So when He baptized with water, He'll baptize with the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Lord spoke in parables to help us to understand. The Bible is nowhere near as gray as people want it to be. Because if I'm not unique, I can't steal you from another church. If I'm not telling you something to make me look more intelligent, and if you agree with me, you're more intelligent, we're all seeing the emperor's clothes, you won't come to me. So they got to get unique. They got to get different with their teaching. Now, whether they're doing it on purpose or not, it doesn't matter. It's the same blasphemy. It's the same joke. So again, we can't sit there and confuse this and act as though it's innocent. Right? It's not innocent. They're doing it on purpose. Why? Marketing. Right, Brother Dennis? My favorite things. Why does false religion exist the way that it does? Marketing. Right? We were driving over, we're getting ready for the barbecue tomorrow, and I was at the store. We're driving by my mom at the Sam's Club down there, and they've got that non-denom thing over there. My mom tried to figure out what it was. What is that? Can't remember what the name of it was. Was it, it almost kind of reminded you of a go-kart track or something like that. She goes, oh, it doesn't matter. They're closed. Like, no, they're only open on Sundays. And I guess whenever they want to rent out the facilities. I don't know. But what is it? I don't know. Marketing. They don't want you to know. That's why they call themselves the river. Because the word church doesn't do well in marketing. That's why they call themselves North Point. North Point what? Not North Point to Christ. I'll tell you that much right now. What is it? It is, again, just marketing for uniqueness. Let me tell you something you haven't heard before so you'll feel intelligent. We talked about this last week. Let me slap the phrase, they don't want me to tell you this on it. And people go, om nom 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 nom. That's good. I like that a lot. Nobody believes this that way, and you make it sound intelligent, and oh, it sounds so good. Om nom 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 nom. We got to be careful. Remember what Paul warned us about? Teachers that'll itch our ears. Oh, they'll make us feel good. But that's not what we ought to be going for. Truth has a ring to it. Truth has a validity to it that does not need to be explained. It explains itself with water, with the Spirit. Oh, does that mean the Holy Spirit baptizes us? Come on now. You tell me, whoever baptized you, did the water baptize you or did the pastor baptize you? Well, no doubt I would say that the pastor baptized you, or if you had a special situation going on where somebody else in the church was able to baptize. But you get my point. The person who put hands on you and dunked you under the water baptized you. The water didn't baptize you. You were baptized with the water. It is a child's argument to pull that out and say, well, look what I've got here. Again, that was that thing I referenced last week. The person says, well, the Bible doesn't say that you shouldn't swear. Filthy communication just means lying. Despite how many times in Scripture it literally singles out you being judged by every idle word that comes out of your mouth, your manner of communication goes into all of it. There's even a verse that talks about vile communication and then references also as well lying. Now, the Bible's redundant, but it ain't ever redundant that close together. It never makes a list with two of the same thing in there. It might repeat the list, never repeats the same thing twice in the list. Right? It's ridiculous when we come up with these very ridiculous arguments. And again, it's something that we've got to be very careful with. When we are talking to people, we've got to be able to acknowledge these things. As things go on, it's always been easy to find somebody with what the Bible calls too much religion, and that knowledge has puffed them up. And they'll sit there and, well, they're a connoisseur of many different denominations. Well, the Pentecostals, and then, of course, you got your Anglicans, and of course you... And they'll sit there and they'll speak as though they've got great levels of intelligence, but they are blind, deaf, and dumb to what the book says. Do not listen to them. Do not hear them. We have the book. We have the book. What parent here, having a teacher, who for their child that would teach contrary to the textbook. The child is being quizzed on the book, but they teach contrary to it, right? Isn't that our big argument? What's your teaching in history anymore? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Shut up and just let us raise your kids, right? We make a big stink about that. if we're going to listen to folks talk about what a church is, you better be on the book. You better be about this book. You better be listening to it. You better be adhering to it. So again, that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit argument, right? Nowhere in Scripture. Looking at these verses, and there's a couple more, but they pretty much say the same thing. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. All right, now let's look at what we understand to be Baptist baptism. Baptist baptism. The Baptist baptism declares what Baptists believe about a certain characteristics of what baptism should be. And there's some things that we have to understand in order to get to what real biblical baptism is. Right, real biblical baptism starts off with this book, the Bible, as the premise for our understanding. It is sad that we have to make that distinction first. First, can we all agree that if we're going to talk about biblical things, we need to agree that we're going to go by the Bible? But that's where we are as a society. And we've been there for quite some time. This is not new. But what about church fathers? What about the councils? What about the meeting together of minds in this denomination? What about the more popular phraseology? What about our market research? He didn't need any of those things when he sent us this book. It is not our job to be accurate to men's opinion of religion. It is our responsibility to be accurate to Scripture, right? To follow the manual. So again, if we're going to go by biblical baptism, we must agree that our only source for the argument has to be the Bible. We can quote many wonderful people that spoke on it. We can sit there and listen to other speakers who've, again, grabbed the word, preach and teach the word. That is wonderful. But if we err or stray from this book, we'll not get the right answer, no matter how hard you try. We also then have to understand what it is that's being done. We know who God is. We know who God the Father is, God the Son. And we've spoken heavily over the last few minutes over God the Holy Spirit. Why is it that when we baptize people, we say of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, that's what John did. And that's who the authority is. We are referencing who the authority to baptize comes from. Does the authority for baptism come from the pastor? No. Does it come from the raising of the hands of the church? Hey, we agree to baptize people. No. It comes from the Father, and we're only able to do it by the gift of the Son, and because we are being led by who? The Holy Spirit. Right, so now we have that right from God to baptize. And as Brother Charlie brought up when he was talking about the church covenant, there are rules we follow. Why? Because that's what you're joining into. This is what you're joining into. So you know what? This whole idea of somebody who's never been here before, coming on down, I'd like to join the church. Hey, amen, come on. Hey, let's vote for him right now. No, there must be a conversation. Right. Well, you're doubting them. If I doubted them, I wouldn't have the conversation. If I disrespected them or belittled them or thought less of them, there would never be a need for the conversation. I'd say, well, aren't you sweet? And have them sit down. That is a very good thing to want, very good. And I would have them sit down. That is not what we do. Somebody comes forward, wonderful, let us discuss. All right, I'm going to tell everybody what you came for. You and me are going to talk. And we'll get to the point and we'll bring you forward, right? Once we are satisfied that you understand what you are doing here, there's enough people to come forward. Well, why do you want to be baptized? Because I want to be a Christian. Okay, hold on. Pump the brakes. Let's clear this up first. And then what do you think? Well, yeah, the Lord did save me. Thank you for this conversation. I definitely understand now, and I still very much think that that's the right move for me to do. All right, well, let's talk about a little bit of doctrine. Let's go over some things. I'm not talking about going through a whole catechism with them, but let's get the main points on the table so you understand, so you're not surprised later, right? So again, we make sure that we've got the right candidate. Why? Because everything we do is of the Lord. It is by His authority. I have to do it what? His way. Because is it my authority? No. Is it the church's authority? No, we have borrowed authority. From who? God. So do we do it based on our whims? No, we do it by the Lord's. Otherwise, we'd get ourselves into a bit of a pickle where we would say, hey, church membership is down as of late. Let's lower our standards. We would do that every now and then in the apartment industry. We would sit there and we would say, we are getting a lot of people failing the background check. So you know what they would do at the corporate level? Well, let's lower the background check standard just a little bit. Let's lower that down. Is it their authority to be able to do that? Absolutely, because they own the business. It's their money. It's their building. Is it our building? No. Is it our church? No. So whose standard do we go by? God's and God's alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for this time we could spend in your word understanding baptism. And Father, I know that I'm talking to a bunch of people who've known about baptism probably longer than I've been alive. But Father, if we fail to teach these things, they get forgotten. Lord, if we fail to teach, Lord, what then can we sit there and grab a hold of your word and rejoice in? I'm glad for the proper mode and operation of baptism. I'm glad that you have given that authority to your churches and, Lord, given us the standard by which to stand on. Lord, we would be lost without all these things. So help us to rejoice in the knowledge. No matter how many times we hear it, help us to rejoice and be glad for it. Because, Lord, just to have it still. Lord, that you preserved it. Lord, that you brought us healthy enough to be able to be here, to hear it. Lord, they're all great blessings. Help us never to forget that. For the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.